Let's turn then to Philippians, and I want to start in chapter 4 with verse 9. So today we are going to have one verse, both this morning and this evening, and that's in chapter 3 and verse 13. But we need to get some context to verse 13. So let's begin in chapter 4 and verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. So the Apostle Paul is very concerned that the Christians in Philippi have a role model. Now, I don't like all this talk that we have today about role models, but you can't get away from the fact that in verse 9, the Apostle Paul is asking the church at Philippi to think about him, what they've seen in him, heard from him, what they've learned from him, and then what he wants is for them to put into practice for themselves. So there it is, verse 9. You can see how comprehensive this verse is. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw. So there's nothing left out. There's no room to escape, if you like. These do. And then, like Paul always does, he always gives you an encouragement. And the encouragement is the God of peace will be with you. So the Apostle Paul then is concerned that the Christians at Philippi develop Christian character. So today then we're going to think again about our theme of Christian character. And I remind you that we set out at the start of the year six, do you remember, six habits that we could think about throughout the year. We've looked at the first of them, which is know yourself, and the second of them, which is in chapter 3 and verse 13, the second of them is what we come to today. So Christian character then, and I want to put that in the second theme that we have been looking at on a Sunday, the theme from the book of Acts. And that theme, do you remember, is we are living in a world that is not right. And we've been exploring that as we've visited Philippi and Thessalonica. And last Sunday, we were in Athens and Corinth. We've seen that we are living in a world that is not right. So here's what I want us to think about. How can we develop Christian character when we are living in a world that is not right? And this world that is not right, the wrongness of the world touches us every day. So some of you are currently struggling with all that is wrong. Things that are wrong are happening to you personally. Things that are wrong are happening to your families. There are things going on at work that should never happen. And in society, there's so much that is wrong that we are battling with day by day. So some of you, you're facing the wrongness of a society that can't organize healthcare properly. You're experiencing the bitter reality of having a loved one who's in hospital, and you've got the limitations and the challenges. For others of you, you're working in schools, and you see every day what's wrong with the world. You have children at school whom you are caring for, who have terrible lives, who have dreadful parents, who are going through awful things. And so day by day, we are confronted with all that is wrong in our world. So here's what my thoughts are. How can we build a good Christian character when all the time and in so many ways we are touched with the wrongness of the world in which we live? And so relationships, family life, work life, living in Porth, living in the Rhondda, wherever we live, we are touched by the wrongness of the world. Well, it's in that context then, let's turn to chapter 3 and verse 13. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. He should never have been in prison. He was a preacher of the gospel. He had done nothing wrong. And yet here he is in prison. And so Paul himself is experiencing the wrongness of the world. And what Paul writes then is how he, experiencing this wrongness, how he is able to build his Christian character. So verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. So here he is in prison, and he's not thinking about himself as a mature Christian. He's not saying that he's some sort of super spiritual individual. But what he says is this: one thing I do. And I've often puzzled about that, one thing I do, because he's doing lots of things in chapter 3. So how can he say he's doing one thing? What I think he's saying is this: in the light that I'm living in a world where there is so much that is wrong, I do one thing. So be very specific then. If you are experiencing things that are wrong, whether directly or indirectly, how are we going to manage when there's so much that's unraveling around us? How are we going to get on? Well, that's the one thing. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. This morning, we're going to look at the first, forgetting those things which are behind, and then tonight, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. This is how Paul is able to live in a world that is wrong. Now, what I'm hoping is when I say that phrase, you understand what I mean. So to make sure you understand what I mean, I want you to think about whatever you are experiencing, which you shouldn't. It just shouldn't be like that. Whether you have experienced something that should never have happened to you, it's just wrong. Now that's the idea here then. Living all the time with the reality that things happen that should never happen, how are we going to manage? How do we cope with family life, work life, just living in a street, in a valley, when things happen that should never happen? How do we cope? Well, here's Paul. One thing I do, this is how I get through. I forget that which is in the past, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. So I hope it's clear then what it is that we are seeking to do. Let's ask God to help us as we turn to his word. Lord our God, there are so many things then in our world that are wrong. And over recent weeks, we've looked at the big picture, and we've seen things like exploitation, an obsession with making money. We've seen things like religious intolerance. Last Sunday, looking in Corinth, we could see that there was division. There was political oppression. migration, refugees. Lord, so much in a big picture that is wrong. But Lord, we come today to look at the personal level. And all of us are face to face every day with things that are just simply wrong. Lord, in our own families where there is illness and there is a lack of care and attention. Lord, whether it's work and we are faced with children whose lives are so miserable because of a failure in the family. Or we are dealing with customers who are rude. Or we are dealing with people with mental illness. Lord, wherever we work, Lord, we just know, even on a personal level, that things happen to us which should never happen. So how can we then build Christian character when such is happening all around us? Lord, we ask you then to speak to us, to see this one thing that we need to do. And we ask you, Lord, to encourage us, strengthen us, and enable us to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I want you to imagine is, think of the figure of the Apostle Paul. He's in prison, so I don't know how you would imagine him, but try imagining him in prison. And what I want you to imagine is both of his hands, because the phrase in verse 13 is a very unique phrase in the Greek language that means on the one hand and on the other. There are two little words. The first of them in Greek means on the one hand. So Paul writes, on the one hand, I forget those things which are behind. And then on the other hand, I reach towards the things which are ahead. Now, both have to be true at the same time. They go together. So on the one hand, then, he tells us that he forgets that which is behind him. And on the other hand, he reaches forward to that which is ahead. So it's a balance. So Paul says, I manage to build a Christian life in a world that is wrong with the right balance between the past and the future. He is seeking to balance out that which is behind him and that which is ahead of him. So it's a balance for Paul between the past and the future. And he says he is seeking always to maintain a right balance between his past and between his future. And what I'm hoping we'll see today is that it's this balance that will help us live in a world that is not right. So this morning we've got the past, and this evening we'll have the future. And as you think of both subjects then, Paul first of all wants to talk about his past. So you may know that as far back as verse 4, he's been talking about his past. And Paul has to develop the right attitude to his own past. So that's the first thing he does on the one hand. And then Paul has to think about his future. Now, don't forget he's in prison. It's likely that the trial has already taken place, but he's waiting for the verdict. So he doesn't know what the verdict will be. So Paul's future is uncertain. And that's the theme that I want to develop this evening. The uncertainty of the future. And how can we cope in a world that isn't right with an uncertain future. And I think for many of us, we worry about things that haven't yet happened. We worry about things that haven't happened to us. We worry about things that haven't happened to our loved ones, but we still worry about them. Now, how can we develop the right attitude to the uncertainties of the future? That's what we'll think about this evening. But this morning, this is the subject. For the Apostle Paul, there were many things about his past that he couldn't change. And that's the problem with our pasts. Things have happened that we cannot change. And so what Paul is developing for us in verse 13 is a right attitude to that which in your own past you cannot change. So go back to verse 4. He's listed for us, hasn't he, all the things that were true about his past. But what he isn't telling us is that while he was a Pharisee and a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and whilst he was persecuting the church, and all the lists that you've got there, can you see it there? Look at verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. What he doesn't say is that he is a murderer. He consented to the murder of an innocent man. Paul can't change that now. As a preacher, as an apostle, he cannot change what he once did. And so, in a world that isn't wrong, is wrong, Paul did the wrong of consenting to someone's death. And then we know, don't we, that he would arrest innocent people. He would lock them up in prison. He would send them from their homes. He was a tyrant. He was an oppressor. He was a persecutor. But he can't change that now. So what's the right attitude to what you cannot change? So let me sum it up like this. I want you to think about your own past. Some of you have got, perhaps a bit like me, quite a long past. Others of you are a bit younger, so perhaps you haven't got so much of a past. But think about those things that have happened to you, but you cannot change them. Now, I'm asking you to think about how many times you still think about those things. How many times do you revisit those things? Do they rise up to haunt you? Past decisions, missed opportunities, actions that you did or that you didn't do, that you blame yourself for. In the words of today's sermon then, think about all the wrong that is true of your past. Perhaps it's wrong that you have done in your past. Perhaps it's wrong that somebody else did you in your past. So you can't change it now. It's finished. It's over. But nonetheless, we think about, we dwell on, we remember these things that we cannot change. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's got lots of time on his hands. He's under house arrest, not actually in prison. But nonetheless, he can't go around preaching, so he's got all this time on his hands. And when situations are difficult, that's when we tend to do lots of thinking. So for you, it's the same, isn't it? When you're under pressure, when things are going wrong, you start to think. And here's the Apostle Paul thinking. And he's thinking about his past. So what then is a helpful response to thinking about your own past? Well, let's be clear about what's a bad idea. If the Apostle Paul then is thinking about his past, and he can't change it, but he's thinking about the wrong that he has done to others, what do you think is the emotion that he'll feel? So he's going to dwell on his days of persecution. He's going to remember the people he drove from their homes. He's going to remember, and this may be a bit uncomfortable for some of you, that word in verse 6, zeal. He relished it. He loved the work of persecuting Christians because he thought it was God's work. So he had enthusiasm for it and a relish for it. Now, if he's remembering that in prison, what's he going to feel? And of course, the answer is guilt. Guilt because of what you've done, or what you said, or what you didn't do. Now, this is what Paul is dealing with here. Think about what others have done to you, the wrong that others do for you. If we dwell on that and remember what somebody did or somebody said to us, what will that then lead us to feel? And of course, the answer is bitterness. So Paul now, living in a world that's wrong, he's telling us how to deal with our pasts so that we don't feel guilt and we don't feel bitterness. Because if we do, then the wrong will be so much worse. So let's have a look at verse 13. I really hope you can see the context now of all of this. A world that's wrong. Here's one man. On the one hand, he has to deal with his past. On the other hand, he has an uncertain future. So with this challenge, he's telling us how he gets by. One thing I do. And of course, that leads us then to verse 13 and that wonderful word in the word forgetting. Forgetting those things which I can't change, which are in my past. Forgetting those things which I've done wrong. Forgetting those things which are the wrong that others have done to me. That's how he gets through a world that is not right. He does so with this word, forgetting. So let me ask you then, what do you think the word forgetting means? Does it mean that he's got no memories of it? Is that what it means? Has Paul somehow been able to wipe out his memory banks so that he can't recall the facts anymore? Is that what it means? Well, we're all very clear about it, aren't we? Of course it doesn't mean that. He is able to remember. His memories may be vivid. His memories may be very real. This word does not mean to lose your memories. What does it mean? It's a word that means alive. So I've got to try and convey to you this morning now this idea of alive. So, to forget means that something is no longer alive in your thoughts. To forget means that you can go through a day and you're not having live in your heads what you've done or what somebody else has done. That's the idea of forgetting. So it's no longer, perhaps the phrase to use, it's no longer a live issue. So imagine Paul now, he's got a spare 5 minutes on his hand. So he's in the house, he's under arrest, and he's got 5 minutes, and he's sitting there. And as he sits there, he's not thinking about anything in particular. Does the thoughts come into his head of what he's done? That's what this word forgetting means. It no longer comes into our minds and fills our thoughts. And so we are then reliving what we've done. That's what the word means. No longer live. So I want to ask you, when you have perhaps a moment or two to spare during the day, do you find your thoughts filled with what you can't now change? Have you noticed for yourself that your mind floods again with those events or those situations or those experiences that you did or others did to you from your own past? Now, that's being alive. A memory is alive. The Apostle Paul says, no, these aren't alive for me anymore. I only remember them when I make the effort to do so. When I choose, I can remember. But when I don't choose, they are not in my heads. That's forgetting. And as we finish this morning, I want to emphasize three elements that make up forgetting. And the third of them is the model that Paul is using here in verse 13. But let's start with the first. The first is this. This word forgetting, it has the idea of acceptance. What we can't change, we accept. We come to terms with, we make peace with, acceptance. We are no longer fighting it, wishing it were otherwise, resisting it. We are no longer setting up an argument in our own heads and saying to ourselves, well, that should never have happened. And I should never have done it, and she should never have said it, and how unfair it was. It's about letting that go. Now, there's no point in me preaching this, is there, unless we apply it. So forgetting then, to achieve forgetting, let go. Whatever you've done, whatever's been done to you, let go of it. Because if you hold on to what somebody did or what you did, then you're keeping it alive. We have to, according to Paul, let go. Now, how do we do that? For many people, the problem is one of fairness, isn't it? It's not fair what somebody did, or it's not fair how somebody's been, or what I did, it wasn't right. So it's all these ideas of fairness that seems to get in the way. Forgetting then, forgetting is letting go. And I'll say a bit about fairness at the end. So let go, whatever you've done, let go of it. Whatever somebody did to you, let go of it. Don't keep it alive. Don't keep it going. Because if you keep it going, you will never forget. And if you don't forget, then the guilt and the bitterness will be added to the wrongness of the world. So how do I forget? First thing, let go. Second thing, start every day afresh. Begin every day new. So don't carry over from yesterday into today the wrongness that you've experienced. Whatever wrong you did yesterday, forget it. Don't bring it into today. Don't carry it over in your thoughts so that you wake up on a new day and there are still thoughts of the wrongness of yesterday. Let those thoughts go. Leave them to yesterday. And in exactly the same way, if somebody wronged you yesterday, if somebody said an unkind word to you yesterday, leave it to yesterday. Don't carry it over into a new day. Because by doing that, you're keeping something alive rather than forgetting it. Now, let's finish with this idea then. Paul is basing all this on his understanding of God. His model is his understanding of how God deals with him. So how does God deal with Paul's past? Is God holding on to Paul's past and saying, now look, Paul, you killed my people. You drove them out of their homes. You even went to Damascus to carry on persecuting my people, and you loved it. Does God hold on to Paul's past? And of course, what Paul understands is this. As far back as Lamentations chapter 3, we're going to sing that hymn based on it in a minute. New every morning, great is your faithfulness. Your compassion doesn't fail. What Paul understands is that God renews his love and his covenant with us every morning. So every new day is a new beginning with God. When we wake up in the morning, it's all new. It's all fresh. It's all beginning again. The love of God, the faithfulness of God, the compassion of God starts all over again, new every morning. So God does not hold on to what you did yesterday. God doesn't hold on to what somebody else did yesterday. Morning, do you remember how it goes? Morning by morning, the mercy of God and the grace of God is new every day. Now, if God can deal with me like that, so that I start a new day with a clean page, then can I not deal with myself in the same way? So Paul's model is God. God is new towards me every morning. And then let's finish with this idea. Whatever wrong you've done, and whatever wrong is being done to you, or has been done to you, the problem is fairness, isn't it? It's not right, these things. It's not right that somebody should have done this. Somebody should be doing that. What Paul understands, leave it to God. God will put it right. He's in prison. Paul is unfairly treated. Paul is reviled. He knows the wrongness, doesn't he? But what Paul says is this. Leave it to God. Whatever injustice, leave it to God. If you can leave it to God, then you're able to forget. If you're able to accept, then you're able to forget. Don't carry it on into the next day. and you're able to forget. And Paul says, that's the one thing I do, this important thing I do in relation to my own past, so that I can then live every day in the way that God deals with me. Well, let's pray, shall we? Lord our God, we are living in a world that's not right, and it affects us every day. And we are men and women with a past, and we are men and women with a future. And Lord, we've thought this morning about a past that we cannot change. Things we've done, things that others have done to us, that we cannot change. For many of us, those things still live in our thoughts. We are thinking about them when we have a moment or two of stillness. And then our God comes the guilt, and then comes the bitterness. Lord, we want to learn from the Apostle Paul. We want to do this one thing that he does. On the one hand, forgetting his past. Lord, there are things we can't change then. And we want to be able to forget. We've seen this morning that that doesn't mean we wipe our memories clean. Lord, we've seen that it means not having these past events live in our heads. So help us to let go of them. Help us, our God, not to take them from one day into the next. And help us, our God, to deal with ourselves in the way that you deal with us. New every morning, morning by morning. Lord, a renewed covenant every day. Lord, we thank you then that you are not dealing with us according to our pasts, but as we'll see tonight, you deal with us according to our futures. So we commend ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen.